Good morning, friends.
Good morning. Denise and I, my wife, are heading up the fourth annual rice packing November 9th. It will be a church-wide event. We will have, just like last year, we had the short service before, and then everybody had 15 minutes to get downstairs. We're going to do that same thing this year. How many people have actually done the rice packing? Okay. So I only need 100 people. So if you've done it, you know it's fun. It will be from 10 o'clock until we finish. We're doing 4,000 bags, just like last year. And I think we were done by cleaning up and everything before 1 o'clock. So mark that on your calendar. Children under 12 will have other things to do. They'll have other activities. Anybody 12 and over is welcome to sign up. The sign-up sheets, there are some of these things in the pews that you can see, and you can scan that and sign up on Sign-Up Genius, or there are sign-up sheets in the parlor, or you could call the office, and they will sign you up. November 9th, keep it on your calendar, and we will see you there.
Thank you, Chuck. So excellent opportunity for everyone in the congregation to participate in missions and outreach on that day here at the church. Next, Brad Barr, who serves as our vice chair for the Strategic Leadership Council, has an announcement regarding our fellowship time after church.
Yeah, good morning, church. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So today, we'd like, please. So today we celebrate Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Bethany and the many ways that they share God's love, guidance, and care for our church family. So please meet us in the church parlor where we will celebrate with cake and fellowship and share our appreciation with Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Bethany. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. Certainly Pastor Bethany and I are blessed to serve this congregation, and we appreciate this gesture expressing the congregation's appreciation and the many ways that we receive that throughout the year. So thank you. Finally, I want to highlight for us today that today is Tyler Morris's final Sunday with us today as the church's choral program director. Before he becomes the music director at Faith Lutheran Church in Saginaw. And so I hope that perhaps over the last few weeks you have taken opportunity to express your appreciation to Tyler, but if not, certainly encourage you to do so today as we seek to send Tyler to this next chapter in his life and ministry with our church's blessing to you, Tyler. Tyler will be in the parlor also immediately following worship, if you wish to greet him after church, and so invite you to that space also to greet Tyler. Can we express our gratitude to Tyler for his ministry among us? We are certainly grateful, Tyler, and want to send you with God's blessing as you begin this next chapter.
Good morning. Would you please join me in the call to worship? I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful.
I ask that you remain standing for our opening song today, Ancient Words.
This world.
life. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, give us hope in this world wherever we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words,
ancient words.
March's blood stains each page. They have died for this faith. Hear them cry through the years. Heed these words and hold them dear. Ancient words.
Ancient words ever true. Changing me, changing you. Come with open hearts, oh let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh let the ancient words impart. We have come.
Please be seated. As we gather for the sacrament of baptism, this is yet another special baptism in the church, in that I have faint memories of Olivia's, Lincoln's mother, her confirmation here, as she was confirmed when I was previously here as the associate pastor. But I think it's an opportunity for us as a church to catch a glimpse of who we are and who we want to be, because this story of one generation speaking into another with these ancient words is not something unique to me, but it is something that this church has been doing for generations. As I have spoken to members who remember their confirmation here or being even baptized here, and they are later in life, they are celebrating generations of ancient words in this space being spoken into their families. And friends, as we bring Lincoln into God's family, this is not something that is reserved for those who are already here. This is a picture of it right now. As Jay gets folded into the life of this congregation, as he brings Lincoln forward to be baptized, we fold more stories, more families, more generations into this story of ancient words. And so I hope that it is through the sacrament of baptism we will celebrate this morning. I invite you to turn to page 39 in our hymnals this morning, or your portion, your responses will be found on the screen in front of you. And as we gather for Lincoln's baptism, I want to remind you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that it is through the sacrament of baptism that we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price.
I present Lincoln Hendricks for baptism.
So on behalf of the whole church, I'm going to ask you, Olivia and Jay, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, please respond, I do. And do you accept the freedom and the power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please respond, I do. And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, please respond, I do. And Lucas and Kennedy, as those who will be walking alongside Lincoln in his life and his faith, I invite you to respond alongside Jay and Olivia. Together, will you nurture Lincoln in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, please respond, I will. Thank you.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Lincoln now before you in your care?
With God's help and the good news, and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround him with community
of love and forgiveness, that we may grow in his service to others.
We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ,
his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Lord, we give you thanks for this water, the water that will be used to baptize Lincoln, and for the ways that you have used water throughout our history to tell of who you are. We praise you this morning and pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on Lincoln as he is baptized today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Here we go. All right, Lincoln. May your baptismal waters open your heart to these ancient words. What name have you given your child?
Lincoln.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of the water and Spirit, you might be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. I know you're curious. You want to touch your baptismal waters too? How's that feel? There you go. There you go. Right back to Dad.
Good job, bud. Now it is our joy. It is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Lincoln to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give you thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love.
As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Indeed, as a church, we want to help you to help Lincoln remember his story and to remember his baptism. And so we have a gift for you, a blanket with his name and also his certificate. All right. Can we welcome Lincoln to the church?
I want to tell you for a sec what we're going to study in Sunday school today. We're going to be in Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Good morning. And we're going to learn about one of the times that Jesus healed. He was such a healer. He had God's power to do, perform some miracles and make people better in their body and in their heart and in their mind. And in this story today, there was a time Jesus was traveling and he came upon 10 men and they were very sick. They had leprosy. And during those times, if you had leprosy, you were just a complete outsider. You couldn't be around anyone, including your own family. And so Jesus was really good, though, about saying, there are no outsiders with me. Everyone's included. And he knew that those men were suffering, and he healed them. It was one of the important parts of the story. One of the guys came back and said thank you to Jesus. The other 9 guys, I don't know why, but they didn't come back. That one guy who came back was very, very grateful. So that's another one of the lessons from today's story. It's a good lesson for everyone here, not just us in Sunday school. Okay? So we've welcomed Lincoln, and we talked a little bit about Sunday school. Let's say a prayer together, and then we're going to do one more thing, okay? So let's all pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us your son, Jesus. Every day, Jesus teaches us how to serve and share and help and forgive. And most of all, Jesus teaches us how to love everyone that we meet. Amen. Okay, now maybe you caught for a sec that October is a special month. It's a month that we set aside to honor our pastors. Sometimes we call that appreciate our pastors. And October is an extra special time to do that, okay? So we have a little opportunity right now. We're going to take it. And let's ask Pastor Jeremy to come down. And maybe he could stand kind of next to Pastor Bethany. And why don't we move up just a touch? Come on up. And we've talked in Sunday school how giving gifts is important, and it doesn't have to be a gift that you go to a store to buy. It could be words. It could be actions. It comes from our heart. So we don't have a gift to hand you for Pastor Appreciation Sunday, but we could give a gift. These guys work very hard to help us know just how much Jesus loves us. They help us to know more and more about God and his son Jesus and all Jesus does in our lives. Most of all, they help us understand how very much Jesus loves us. Does that remind you of a song? Could we give a gift of song this morning to our pastors? Why don't we sing it once and then we'll have everybody join in? Would that be okay? If you know it, great. If not, you can hum or you can just kind of make some eye contact. Okay? So let's do a little bit of Jesus Loves Me to Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Bethany. Ready? One, two, ready, sing. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus. More time and we'll pick it up just a touch, okay? One, ready? I loved how, listen guys, actions also mean looking at the people we're honoring, and I'm loving that right now. Thank you. One, two, ready, sing.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Thank you for helping us understand Jesus' love.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank Amen. You. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Come on, Kai.
High-fiving you.
All right.
Thank you.
And now we come to a time of offering. If you would, as the ushers are coming forward, please sign the red friendship pads at the end of your pew and pass them down. We love to get to know our neighbors. We love to know who's here. And we invite you to do that. And I also invite you to reflect on the ways that God has blessed you this week. God, we give you thanks for these gifts here and all the gifts you've given to us in any form. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to be like children as we, all that we have to give is all that we have been given from you. Lord, use these gifts to further your kingdom and use them to your honor and glory to the fullest. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. So I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them. Work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Before there was Brooks, there was Solomon. Before there was Brooks, my family's 4.5-year-old show Labrador Retriever, there was Solomon, my family's field Labrador Retriever, who had been with us for nearly 12 years. In case you're unfamiliar with this ever-popular breed of dogs, show Labradors are the retrievers that are bred for confirmation shows. You might know those as dog shows. And field Labrador Retrievers are the ones who are bred for hunting. And one thing I've come to appreciate about Labradors is their work ethic and their pinpoint focus when doing the very thing that they are bred to do, which is to retrieve. I saw this a lot more in Solomon, our previous field lab. I've yet to see this in Brooks, the show lab. As one YouTube dog trainer put it, it's as if the show Labrador Retriever knows that it is good looking. And it's very happy to get by in life on its good looks and cuteness. While the field Labrador Retriever, on the other hand, knows no better than to keep going. Well, since I'm not much of a hunter, I know this is going to be disappointing to some, but I can barely stomach removing a hook from a fish's mouth. Because of that, Solomon's retrieving was relegated to a frisbee. Even so, this pinpoint focus on retrieving, which was present in his bloodline, was very much evident in him. One of the exercises that Solomon and I enjoyed doing mimic the honor command, which is often taught to dogs that retrieve in the field. If you're a hunter, you might understand this command. To my understanding, the basic premise of the honor command is this. A dog is to sit patiently among other dogs and not retrieve a fallen bird until the master calls their particular name. And so for Solomon and me, it looked like this. I would command Solomon, my black lab, to sit by my side as I tossed a frisbee some 30 to 40 yards out. And once the frisbee landed, and with Solomon in the sit position by my side, I would proceed to call him every name. Mind you, they were appropriate, and they were kind. I am a pastor, after all. And so I would call out his father's name, Max. Or I'd call out his mother's name, Katie. Or I might even say, Solly, or Salmon, or Salami. In a good 95% of the time, Solomon would sit attentively staring at that frisbee in the distance until he heard his name. Solomon. And that was his command, to go and retrieve. It was as if Solomon's entire existence, everything that went into him being a lab, was reduced to retrieving this singular red disc, some 40 yards in the distance. Reflecting for a moment on your life and your faith, how would you distill the good news of Christ Jesus similarly to a singular focal point? If you were asked to tell what are those ancient words that we sing about at the start of worship, what would you distill it to? How would you explain what is so good about Jesus and his life and his death and resurrection? Turning to 2 Timothy in the New Testament, there is some debate as to how we receive this book. Some might say that this is a lit letter written by Paul to Timothy. Timothy being someone who became part of Paul's inner circle during Paul's travels as a missionary. And yet there are other scholars who have alternative understandings that assign this book of the Bible along with 1 Timothy and Titus to other origins. Some suggest these letters were written at Paul's request, perhaps even partially dictated by Paul himself, while others argue that these letters were penned in Paul's name following his death, and that what they did was they pieced together fragments of authentic correspondences between Paul and Timothy or Paul and Titus. Let's be clear that these scholars are not suggesting that the motivations here are fraudulent, but more so that these were common practices in Paul's times and would have been done to further Paul's work in the church, even after his passing. For our purpose today, we're going to take Paul's letter here in 2 Timothy at face value. And so we're going to read 2 Timothy as a letter of encouragement. A letter written by Paul while imprisoned a second time to his trusted friend and fellow missionary, Timothy. And as you heard from Pastor Bethany, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul summarizes, he distills the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in his life to a handful of words. If you happen to have your Bible open to verse 8, you can see them. Paul distills the good news to this. Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. That's Paul's good news. That Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. He says afterwards, "This is the gospel I preach." For Paul, this is what his life and this is what his faith all amount to. Because of this, Paul can make sense of his life and his faith, even in times of struggle. For Paul, this spoke of the power of God's grace in his life and in ours. This is the good news that he preached. But what is he saying? What is he saying so succinctly here? What Paul is pointing to when he summarizes the good news of Jesus Christ into these two phrases. The first phrase points to Jesus' birth. And the second one speaks to his rise, being raised from the dead, to his resurrection. The first part having to do with Jesus being a descendant of King David has everything to do with his humanity, has everything to do with Jesus laying aside everything that came with being God to dwell among us. Paul is pointing to his understanding that Jesus walked this earth, that Jesus, in the words of William Barclay, is the one who trod this road and lived this life and faced this struggle, and who therefore knows what we are going through. Right, so that first distillation is Paul saying that Jesus walked among us. That Jesus knows this life and all that it entails. The second part of Paul's gospel is this, that Christ was raised from the dead. And this has everything to do with remembering and having the faith that Christ is risen. That no matter what, Jesus' tomb is empty. That no matter what we face, love and life overcome sin and death. And that no matter what, we might be on life's mountaintop or we might be on life's valley, that no matter what, the risen Christ is among the living. Indeed, it helps to bear in mind that Paul shares all of this while bound in chains and while in prison. In verses 9 and 10, Timothy shares, "And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be changed. I'm willing to endure everything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. Bound by chains as a prisoner for having shared the good news of Jesus Christ, and yet, for Paul, this is still good news." So my challenge for you this week is to consider, what is your gospel? What is the good news that you preach? What is it that you are sharing no matter the circumstances around you? Whether you embrace the day before you, or you're feeling life's burden, what is your gospel? How have you encountered Jesus' love in your life in such a tangible way that your hope cannot be bound? And hear me out. The preaching that we're talking about here has nothing to do with having a degree from seminary. It has nothing to do with standing in a pulpit. What we're talking about here is more so the good news of God's love in your life that you can hold on to and share no matter what. So, for example, thinking about what might be, as Paul says, the good news that I preach. For me, the gospel is this, that all things are possible. That all things are possible. I've seen this in my life. I've seen it over and over and walking alongside others. That all things are possible. That we can pursue the dreams and the calls that God placed in our lives. That we could speak ancient words into generations of our families. That we can heal broken relationships. That we can endure challenges and suffering. That we might be set free what keeps us bound up. Or as Paul says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is my gospel. And so for me, I preach this, that all things are possible. I know this and I preach this because I've seen this. And so perhaps your good news is joy. That you experience the abundance of salvation in life today. Perhaps your good news is freedom, that you have found your way out of an unhealthy habit or destructive path. Perhaps your good news is forgiveness if you have reconciled long-held differences or hurts. Perhaps your good news is endurance as you simply have the assurance that God knows the way home as you wander through the wilderness. Whatever the case may be, I challenge you to consider what is the one thing from Jesus' love being lived in your life that gives you hope? What is the hope that cannot be bound? What is your gospel? May you preach it. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Indeed, O God, we love to tell the story. The story that you have written before the beginning of time. The story that you have written into our lives each and every day. And in this story, O God, is such good news. Good news that came to us in the form of your Son, who walked among us and is raised from the dead. And God, each one of us is writing that story in our life through our triumphs and celebrations. Through our trials and seasons of suffering. And yet your good news is enough. It guides us, it sustains us, it inspires us. So God, open our eyes in the coming week as to what our gospel is. And speak into our days opportunities to preach it with grace, to preach it with hope, to preach it with a spirit of expectancy. And Lord, we pray that you would take the story of this church and bring our hearts together once again as to what that gospel is. May it speak into our community in a transformative way. And Lord, may the light that comes from here and into our community change the world. For indeed, O God, we love to tell the story. And it is in His name that we pray, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and to join one another in our closing hymn. This is found on page 598 or on the screen in front of you, O Word of God Incarnate. What a wonderful day to worship together and to be thinking of these ancient words and the story we love to tell. I can't help but think this morning of Olivia and Jay. I know firsthand Olivia's story being brought up in here and knowing her parents to speak this story into their children's lives. I know talking with Jay in preparation for Lincoln's baptism, the same has been done in his family. And to think how that gospel now might be written and preached into Lincoln's life. But looking out into the congregation, I know that is happening over and over. As some have shared how your parents brought you here decades ago and have preached this gospel into your life. And so this week, what is your gospel? What is so good, so hopeful? May you look for opportunities to preach that this week, full of grace, full of hope. Amen. Amen.